you can rest. Like, you can come into the space and have a moment where you can rest. And it's not in the how good you're doing or the performance you've had or even just the different ways that you failed. You're actually resting in God's work, in God's performance, in the grace that he offers you. That we long to be a place here where you can come and you can experience that a little bit, even if it's something you've never experienced before, which means anyone can come. Bring your friends, bring your own doubts and your questions, your thoughts. You don't necessarily have to believe everything that we say here before you come and belong here. We really mean that. So this tonight, this is kind of an RUF favorite series because it's on relationships. And as I said last week, typically in RUF, we take a book of the Bible or a section of the Bible during large group, and we study it for the semester. Yet this semester, we're looking more at a topic of relationships. Now, why is that? Because when you think about it, every single aspect of your lives is about relationships. Think of every conversation you had today. It'd be impossible to have a conversation without some sort of relational thing coming in there. Why do you gravitate towards certain shows on TV? Because you find the characters interesting. Even like action movies, like you care about what the character is going through. Why do you spend countless hours a day on social media, scrolling through TikTok or Instagram, or waiting for that be real, right? To click, whatever it is. I don't be real, obviously, but because really you're curious about the people on the screen, or you're displaying your own self to others. You want to be seen because life is about relationships. So all of you in here tonight, you've gone through moments of incredible joy in your life at times. And also you've gone through moments of real hard pain and hardship and sadness. Everyone here has experienced some sort of that spectrum. And when you think about it, at the center of every single one of those experiences are relationships. Like, some of your deepest pain comes from the people that have hurt you. Some of the best moments in your life were experienced with people you deeply care about. It's why for some of you, these first few weeks of school are also some of the most frightening moments of your entire life. Not because of the academic stress that you potentially see coming, but because when you're surrounded by the most people at one time, it's also when you feel the most alone. And it's super painful. That deep longing to be known, but also that deep fear that you're going to be rejected. It's why some of you will do whatever you can to fit in, right? Like, I get it. Pick out the best clothes or rehearse your best jokes. Whatever it is, whether a fraternity, sorority, student club, even a ministry like RUF, right? Because at your core, you want to belong. So it's maybe why some of you here have already done some things in college that you feel like you probably shouldn't have. Because it means that much to you. And here in RUF, I want to convince you, and I want to convince you this semester, that this feeling that we all experience is actually not entirely because something is wrong with you, or that you're just pathetic, or you're just insecure. No, it's because you were actually created for relationship. Like, because at the heart of the Bible is a story about a God who is fundamentally relational. And he created each of you in such a way that being in relationship, it's a fundamental part of who you are. To be known and loved. To know and love others. And so I believe, like, I'm convinced that the Bible gives me the truest picture for why I struggle in this area. And it also gives me the beautiful design that I long for. So that's why we're going to be exploring this every week. If you're interested in that, come back. But tonight we're going to be talking about, I've titled it, the relationship to relationships, just to try to be clever. But in other words, we need to start talking about, in order to go into the particular relationships that we have, because we have many, right? Let's examine, what is this thing supposed to look like anyways? What is it? What is relationships? And here's the question I want to open with tonight. What are people for? Like, have you ever thought about that? Like, what is the purpose of a human? What? Why people? What is the proper use of humanity? Some of you had tried to challenge me this semester to make a reference to the movie Barbie every single large group illustration. And I'm going to attempt, I can't promise I'm going to do that, okay? But if that hooks you to come next week, then maybe I'll just like say that it's a possibility, right? But here's my reference to it tonight. You know, this question is really all through that movie. Like, what does it really mean to be a human? What does it mean to be in a relationship? But in particular, the top song right now on the charts is Billie Eilish from that movie. What Was I Made For? And I'm not going to sing it just to save myself the embarrassment. But just listen to the words. You know, I used to float. Now I just fall down. I used to know, but I'm not sure now. What was I made for? Taking a drive, I was an ideal. Looked so alive. Turns out I'm not real. Just something you paid for. What was I made for? I don't know how to feel, but I want to try. I don't know how to feel, but someday I might. Someday I might. Like, I really think this song grips us, because even though she's singing through the eyes of this plastic doll, don't you kind of relate to that a little bit? Like, the tension of not really even knowing how to feel, or not really even knowing what you're made for, or your purpose. I mean, so much of y'all struggle with understanding why you're here. Like, what am I really going to do after college? Right? That's some of the biggest topics that we talk about. Who am I going to be with the rest of my life? What really makes me happy? What brings me fulfillment? What am I made for? Like, this is a common tension. And Jesus speaks into this. So to unpack this, we're going to look at the very beginning of the Bible. Because the Bible doesn't just start in the middle of things. It's not like Star Wars, where, you know, the first movie is actually episode 4 and you just enter into the chaos. No, the Bible gives us the full story for humanity. And so for us to really know how are we meant to function, we look at the beginning of the story. We look at to understand exactly how things have gotten where they are today. Now, some people here, you may be unconvinced that the Bible's true. It may seem outdated or archaic. And just know, I'm glad you're here. It's okay to be here. We believe here that the Bible is not just words about God, but it's actually the very word of God that he's given to us. Now, if you don't buy that yet, it's okay. But also just consider this, that potentially what the Bible teaches here may actually help you make sense of some of why you feel the way you do right now, or have experienced what you've experienced in life. It may actually speak a little bit into that. So let's read together. These are the first couple of verses from the book of Genesis, very first book of the Bible. And then we'll unpack this question after. What are humans for? So this is Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And then I'll skip down to chapter 2, verse 18. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Let me pray for us. Dear God, we thank you for just this time. We thank you that you give us your very words that we can understand and make sense of things, make sense of all of these things we experience in life, just the messiness of relationships. So God, I pray that you would be with me now, be with us now in this room. Help us to hear from you. It's in Christ's name. Amen. So a former campus minister, Matt Howell, he tells this illustration. Say you got a new phone and you show it to me and you show me all the cool features. Maybe it's Be Real Time and we use it for that, or we've met, we exchange numbers, whatever. And one day I decide to call you up on your new phone and I say, hey, what's up? And you say, hey. And I say, can you come over to my house right now? I need help with something. And whatever you do, do not forget your phone. So you show up at my house, and I'm there with a picture frame and some nails. And I say, thank goodness you've come. Can I please have your phone? And I take your phone, and I take a nail, and I just start hammering the nail into the wall. And just, like, start making a mess of everything. I end up putting a huge dent on your phone, dent on the wall. And then I have the audacity to return your phone to you after I can't hang up a picture and say, your phone sucks. Why do you even have it? And apart from never talking to me again, and thinking I'm super weird, you're going to say, Davis, you are an idiot because you don't know what a phone is used for. It's not a hammer. You aren't using the phone in the way it was actually intended. And often when it comes to this question, what are human beings for? We don't truly understand what we're for. We don't understand our purpose. It's why there's so much confusion in the world. That in order for us to truly operate and flourish as we're supposed to, we've got to know the purpose. We've got to really know our proper use to begin with. Otherwise, we're just going to be hammering away without really getting anywhere. It's why some of you get to a point when you just can't even function because you are so burnt out. Maybe it'll be at the end of the semester. Maybe it's now. You're so burnt out from exhaustion, from using yourself as a machine to just crank out work, because you weren't created to just be a worker. You were created as a human being. It's why those things you know that you've done and you do that are wrong, and you do it anyways. You know, maybe you mistreat somebody, maybe you've been mistreated, and you just feel that weight of that, like you feel dirty, because you're a human being. And you actually aren't functioning truly in the way that human beings are meant to. Or finally, like this may hit close to home. You know, why do you continue to go back to that person that's hurt you over and over again? I'm not saying that to shame you. Like, or having that parent, for instance, that you know has not really loved you well. And there's just something inside you that wants them to notice and wants them to care and wants them to be proud of you. There's that need. Why do you long for that? Because you know that deep down, even those things, you know that it's not the way it's supposed to be. And part of you recognizes and intuitively feels things of how it should be. There's reasons for that. And so here's sort of the big idea for this question of what are people for. If we're made, as the Bible says here, in God's image, it means every person in this room was made for relationship with each other and was made for relationship with God. So I'm just briefly going to, those two points. We are made for each other, number one. So notice in Genesis 2:18, God has made a person and has looked over all his creation, and he delights in it. It is very good, as it says earlier in Genesis. God has made every creature in the way it's supposed to be and operates in his creation. He has given Adam this place of perfection to enjoy and delight in the goodness of God and what he's made. He can explore, he can eat, he has all the freedom at his disposal. And yet, in Genesis 2:18, before sin enters the world, before the fall, God looks at Adam and says, something is not good. And what is it? It's not good for Adam to be alone. Which means that even in the midst of all this good, something is missing. That part of the way God designed Adam as a human being was to be in relationship with another human being. That this longing that we all have, this loneliness that often we feel, this desire to be known is there not because you're just a broken, pathetic person, but rather you're being pulled into this direction of how you were originally created. There's a famous study by this guy named Rene Spitz, which is a cool name, who studied infants in orphanages. And one profound thing that came out of this study was that infants who were abandoned by their moms and were never really touched or talked to by their caretakers, they ended up either dying or just growing up with all of this extreme emotional or physical difficulty. Even if they were given all that they needed, like food, shelter, just anything for their sustenance. Now, why is that? Because part of what a human being needs is relationship. It is actually vital to your health. It's why the famous late senator, John McCain, who was a war veteran in the Vietnam War, and he was a prisoner, he was at a prisoner of war camp in the Viet Cong, which he was brutally mistreated and tortured and experienced many days in solitary confinement. And he says in a quote that he was actually more excited to get out of solitary confinement in a prisoner of war camp than on the day when the United States eventually rescued him. That the torture of being alone was so brutal that he was more excited to just get out of that, to be rescued from the war entirely. And when you think about it, this makes sense to us. Like, this means that all of those ways you go about trying to fit in and wanting to belong, part of that is because you were created by God. And you were created for relationship. That desire to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you can spend time with and potentially marry, that desire is there because you were created for it. It's why some of you have been here for just a couple of weeks and are terrified of walking into this room because you so deeply want to connect and you feel the pain of being alone right now. It's why we do things that we're often ashamed of, because our desire to connect with others frightens us, that we'll do whatever we can because we're created for relationships. I mean, think about it. Why do so many of you look at pornography? Like, apart from just the attraction to it and the good feelings that it creates, at the heart of it, you long to have relationship, and it's lacking in your life. Or you long to not be lonely anymore. Or you want to get away from some sort of pain. And it's easier to do that because you were wired to want to have a relationship that meets your needs and provides fulfillment for you in your mess. It's why breakups are so hard, even if it's the right thing to do at times. You know, I hear this from a lot of people. But you have a breakup and you say something, or this person says something to you like, I can't be with you right now because I really need to work on myself. Or I'm not ready for a relationship. And you know, I get that. I'm not saying that that's not wise to do it sometimes, right? But you know what you really need in that time when you need to work through on yourself? You need relationship. I'm not saying to continue in a relationship with, you know, someone who's harmful or it's harmful for you, but I am saying that you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because part of what it means for you to thrive as a person, part of what it means to really grow and work on yourself, is actually living out the way you were originally designed, which is relationships, to be in relationship. This is why some of you think growth comes from just working on yourself individually. Like, maybe have your quiet time, And that's like your main motivation for growth, right? Or maybe you say, you know, I need to get up earlier. I need to study the Bible more. I need to work on my anger issues before I can actually be in community. So I need to separate, really deal with that. But you know, what the Bible is actually pointing to here is that part of your true growth and part of what you truly need is community. Like, how do you deal with anger at another person when you're not with a person? Like, you actually can't. You have to be in relationship to be able to actually grow in that area. This is one of the reasons we stress so much community here in RUF. It's actually one of the reasons we sometimes have awkward icebreakers or we have like interaction in ways that like maybe it's kind of hard for us to be in because we believe in this so much that we want to actually know each other. It's one of the reasons I stress to become a part of a church, that participating with people in worship, it's not just so you can just download individually whatever information the preacher's teaching you so you can go look at it later or think about it. No, it's because you actually need the people in the room. You need the community, even the people you don't like. Now, why is this so prevalent for us as humans? Because we were made for God. So point two, we were made for God. In Genesis 1, 26 through 28, there are several interesting things to notice. God says, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Now, it's really interesting that at the start of this, God, in the singular, says, let us, in the plural, make man. And there's been many ways that people have debated what's going on here. Some people will say God is talking to his heavenly court, right? Angelic beings. But the thing is, Scripture never points us in the direction that we are made in the image of angels. He's not going to bring them into this to involve them. For instance, Hebrews 2, it talks about how it is not the angels that he subjected the world to, but rather humans. There's a difference. And so another way that people have dealt with this issue is by saying that God is using the plural here like a king with his kingdom. So the royal we is what you call it in literature, meaning that the king uses the plural to refer to what he does in the kingdom. Now, the only issue with this is that sort of literary device was not even invented until hundreds of years after this was originally written. That this ancient culture who was hearing this for the first time, they would have had no concept for something called the royal we. And as Christians, what we believe is that God is both one and three. That he is one in his being and unity and power and wisdom and love and justice and mercy and grace. But he is also three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's a Trinity. Which means that at the foundation to who God is relationship. He's been in relationship already for all of eternity with himself. There has never been a moment when God has not been in relationship. He has never been alone in that sense. He's never experienced loneliness because he has always been in relationship with himself. God the Father loving and delighting in the Son. God the Son loving and delighting the Father. The Holy Spirit loving and living in the love between the Father and the Son. It's mysterious. But it's foundational to who God is. It means that if we were crafted by this God, and part of what he decided to do was make us like him, then the reason for this longing for relationship is because we are made in the image of this God who is perfectly in relationship already. That many people struggle with this idea about God, because you just can't see him, right? And so the argument goes that because humans are intelligent, we want to make sense of the world. So what they do is they create gods for themselves just to help explain things. But what if it's the opposite? Like, what if instead of God being crafted by us with whatever we think makes a God the best God, God has created us with the way that he knows we will actually work. And part of the way he shows who he is to the world is by you understanding that you actually exemplify that God just by being you. That as a human being, knowing that you are made for the purpose to show the world that there is a creator, you image him. And this type of creator is a lover of people, a type of God that relates, a type of God that cares about relationships. But finally, I'll close with this. Here's the question that comes up, that people wrestle with. You know, if we are made to image God, why do so many times we often look the opposite of how we really believe God is supposed to be? Like, why do relationships, rather than giving us what we need to flourish as human beings, they often do the exact opposite? You know, why do you have to enter every single relationship, even Christian ones, with this assumption that you are potentially going to get severely hurt? Or it's going to bring you even more pain in your life. Is it even worth it? You know, maybe that's why some of you have avoided the church even. Because of the way Christians actually come off. Because they don't seem like someone created in God's image, in a sense. Someone who represents God. And so, why shouldn't you just protect yourself, you know? Is it really true that it's even not good to be alone? Because often what you've experienced is that it's very good for you to be alone because of how often you've been hurt. And just know those are extremely important questions. And I get that. It's okay to feel that. And we're going to actually talk next week about the brokenness of relationship. But it also highlights something. And it highlights our need for that one relationship that will actually not fail you. That this is who Jesus is. Because this God, who saw all the relational dysfunction and brokenness and pain that human beings experience, decided to not just remain in just perfect relationship with itself far off. But instead, he decided to enter into humanity as a human being to be the perfect relationship and model that you actually need. So you don't have to be without it. I've shared this illustration before, and I'll close with this. The author, Dorothy Sayers, she's, you know, by all accounts, a genius. She was actually the first graduate of Oxford University, first female graduate of Oxford University. She used to have this mystery series about a man named Lord Peter Wimsey. And he was a single man, and he was a good detective, but he lived sort of this boring, unpleasant life. And one day, he meets this woman in the story who is an author who writes mystery novels, and she's a graduate of Oxford. And Peter Wimsey and her develop a relationship in the story. And they fall in love and they get married. And what literary scholars will suggest is that Dorothy Sayers, who had been writing this character for years and years, she actually fell in love with Peter Wimsey. And she didn't want him to be alone. And so she decided to write herself into the story because she wanted to be the one to save him. So she entered it into it and wrote herself into Lord Peter Wimsey's life. What if God, seeing you and understanding how vital true relationships are for your flourishing, and loved you so much and saw all of the brokenness, pain, sadness that comes through those very relationships, what if he actually wrote himself into the story to undo all of that and reset everything for you? And take all of that pain and all of those broken things actually upon himself. and give you a model for what life is really supposed to be like. That is the story that God has given us. That is what Jesus did. Like, he doesn't just give you this list. Like, hey, you need to get better. I know relationships are hard. Why don't you just do these things? So read your Bible and do them. No, he enters into it for you. He resets the relationship back to the way it's supposed to be. He is the answer to all of those longings. And true relationship is actually found in him, which then enables you to live out relationship with each other in the way it's intended, to bring healing rather than harm to each other. So consider that this is Jesus' main mission: to restore you, to heal you, and that it actually starts with him. If you're curious about that, talk to me. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this time. Thanks for the semester that we can continue to explore just the ways that you reorder all of our lives, the ways that you bring healing, the ways that you actually enter into our brokenness and sadness so that you can restore us. I pray that we will continue to explore what it means to trust you, that you would grow us in your grace. It's in Christ's name. Amen.